Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Vegan Unconvincing, a pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Wim, and thank you again for listening to me ramble about pop culture for about 20 minutes. Sorry for the delay in getting the new show out. I kind of returned to work last week and I'm, working from home, and that is where I record the podcast. So kind of after being stuck in a room for 8 hours, I like to leave quickly. So I'll try to keep a better schedule. I had planned on doing an episode last Saturday with a guest, as my friend Michael was over at the house, but he chickened out and said he didn't want to do it. And then we proceeded to argue about Star Wars for about the next 2 hours. Probably giving better content analysis than any of the podcasts that I've made so far. Nothing like a nerd fight. Anyway, Star Wars cartoon guy versus Star Wars movie guy. So, it's all good. This week on the show, I just want to revisit the discussion about The Alienist. So what I did was I kind of let the episode stack up a bit, and then I binged the rest of it, the rest of the series. I have to say I preferred it much better that way. I think Dakota Fanning is fantastic. I was much more interested in the story, watched one right after the other. But it had a tendency to drag in places, and I think when you don't have it set up properly, to watch it like that, you can notice that a lot more when you have to wait a week. The show seems like it'll continue, and if memory serves me correctly, the sequel book takes place a number of years later. I think it's like 14 or 15 years later, certainly more than a decade. So I wonder where they're going with it. They have a new story set up that they plan on doing, or if they're gonna jump to the second book, which, like I said, takes place much further in the future. I hope everyone got to see the first few episodes of Krypton. I'm pro DC, so of course I was looking forward to this. The show was supposed to be consistent with the events leading up from, leading up to Man of Steel. I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I thought it was going to be kind of lame, but it certainly is holding my interest so far. My only complaint is that at one point they bring up that they don't believe in aliens. Now, come on, DC. The ship stuck on Earth in Man of Steel is 1,000 years old when Krypton tried to colonize the different star systems. And in Justice League, also, when Cyborg accesses the Kryptonian ship, he says, "Now I have access and knowledge of thousands of worlds." So, how do they not know about the Lantern Corps, too? Lanterns are protectors of the galaxy, which is broken up into quadrants, which each quadrant has a lantern protector. So, and I don't read the comic books, and I know this stuff, so come on, let's be a little more consistent. I know DC Universe batting average is pretty low with consistency, but, I pegged it right away, so. It was brought up by a friend of mine, too, who was more of a pro-DC than me, that there's plenty of time for, year-wise, to allow for different alien contacts. It would be a good 80 years that they could put in there, so I'll take it under advisement. So, but the creators of this stuff need do these weird, short-sighted things that annoy fans of DC, and, most of the shows are really good, so I'll keep the faith as I'm only, 2.5 episodes in, and my TiVo is still recording it. And how pimp was that House of Zod crest? Was that cool or what? I want that on a t-shirt or something like that. And for consistency for a really bad Superman experience, I watched Superman 4, Quest for Peace, so little perspective helps you a little bit because that really sucked. Also, Ready Player One was released this past weekend, and I did have a chance to see it. No super spoilers here, but I won't say I was disappointed. But, reading the book and finding out that a movie is going to be, you kind of get this premonition in your head as to what in the book you want to see in the movie. You create visualizations in your mind, and there really was hardly anything from the book at all. What disappoints me is you hope to see some of these great moments that you read and none of them materialize. It's kind of like reading a Stephen King novel than seeing the movie, you know. Unlike most cases, though, with Stephen King books, this movie works. It doesn't suck. I understand, you know, you have to eliminate the pop culture references for the sake of budget and being able to use the rights and whatnot, but, you know, nothing but, you know, old Atari games kind of made its full presence. You know, in the books, the movie walks through, the movie walkthroughs were War Games and the Holy Grail. And the Shining part was really good, too. I just wish they had War Games and the Holy Grail. You know, based on casting, though, the characters, you know, I knew that the movie would be different. Just the characters were different, as Ty Sheridan is not a fat geek and Olivia Cooke is not a chubby female, you know. So I kind of do wish that Gene Wilder were alive to play Halliday, because when I read the book, that's how I, you know, that's the type of person I envisioned that in my head was kind of like a Willy Wonka type of guy. I didn't really care for Simon Pegg too much either. I kind of don't think he was very good as Ogden, as they like to say, but I will say I-Rock was a much better character in the movie than he was in the book. I like to think about him like I was in grade school. He always had that kid that rolled on everybody. That was I-Rock in the books. Now, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed the movie, but I think it could have done just so much more, you know. A must for anyone in my generation, if you're in your 40s. And you were a teen or whatnot in the 80s, you really enjoyed the whole theory behind the movie. If you didn't read the book, you'll love the movie more than those of us who have. And as in my case with everyone else who read it, you'll kind of be disappointed with the missed opportunities of it. But full recommendation on Ready Player One. Not much that I hate. In other science fiction news, if you follow me on Twitter, you know one of my favorite movies is The Last Starfighter. Side note, I had a crush on Catherine Mary Stewart. Still do. She looked good. Just saying. Now, Entertainment Weekly is reporting that Rogue One screenwriter Gary Whitta's next project may be a reboot/sequel. Now, a remake was tried by a lot of people and has always been denied, including the likes of Steven Spielberg, who could not get it off the ground to redo it, which is probably why he ended at Ready Player One. But the majority owner of the property is Jonathan Buettel. I don't know if I said that right. I apologize. But he would never allow any type of the reboot. And according to the article, Widow was just relentless with him over a long period of time. It was always my assumption that people who tried to get the project didn't want to include Jonathan, so he would be resistant to release control of his product. If he thought you were just going to remake the movie again and make it modern, he didn't want to ruin what, you know, considered a good film back in the day. You know, certainly that I can agree with. It's always been my contention that you could fix all the special effects and re-release the movie on its own without, you know, changing any of the dialogue or any of the acting or anything like that. You know, I believe it was one of the first movies to use computer animation, and in that respect, it really shows. It did not age well in that department. It looks like any of these, you know, video games, special effects-wise, you know. I still love the movie regardless, and maybe one day we'll get a Last Starfighter special edition. And I was seriously so geek-happy when I saw the story. I really hope it happens. One of those things that I really love. Now, in music, I just want to add, one of my favorite bands is Bare Naked Ladies. I really dug them since I actually bought Gordon back in 1994, whenever it first came out, for my niece. I used to listen to CDs before I gave them to her, so she was all cool with that. But I listened to it beforehand, and I just loved it. I've been a fan of theirs ever since, and every time they come to the area, I always go and see them. I actually have tickets to see them in the end of June with on tour at Mohegan Sun. That's where I'm going to go and see them out there. But they were inducted in the Canadian Hall of Fame. which was great. And, you know, I loved it. I had to watch it again because Stephen Page was back in the band for a night. Hopefully he can, you know, get back together with them. And he's fixed all his issues that he has with alcohol and drugs and everything. And he can get back together with them and see if they can get stuff together and work on it. You know, but my favorite band, I'm excited to see it and can't wait to. It was great to hear them play together and whatnot. And so, congratulations on BNL. In sports, baseball opened last week. And I like to steal from Dennis Leary and saying, I don't like baseball. I like the Yankees. He used to say the Red Sox, but I like the Yankees. You know, I'm bad. I couldn't tell you any other players on any other team except for the Yankees. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm more of a hockey guy, too. And that season is winding down. Today is the 5th of April. Tonight, Frozen Four starts tonight, too, with my buddy John Butchergross. And Barry Melrose calling the game, so I'm going to watch that tonight. That's what I have all set. Excited for that. Prior to the season starting, though, in hockey, you know, I picked the Tampa Bay Lightning to defeat the Nashville Predators for the Stanley Cup. I'm looking pretty good on that right now. It looks like that, you know, has a good possibility of happening, and I picked that even before the season started. So those two teams seem to be the favorites, and as long as the Penguins don't win, somebody else has to. So please, get on with it. That'd be great. Back in the television, the expansion, season 3, starts on April 11th on Sci-Fi. Seasons 1 and 2 are on Amazon Prime if you have that. I finished season 1 just as season 2 was wrapping up being aired, so I had to wait a little bit before I could see it before they issued it out on Prime. But way different series. Love it so far. I started reading the books as guys from the Random Chatter Network podcast said the books add so much more to the show. So much like in the sense of Game of Thrones. So I'm reading those and I'm going to get some time in. So I'll try to report on that as it goes also. But if you can catch up and play along, like I said, the first two seasons are Amazon Prime. Let me know what you think. Another thing I haven't really discussed on this podcast yet is other podcasts that I like. True crime. One of the longest, you know, for the longest time, the only podcasts I ever listened to were Kevin Smith's. I only listened to Smodcast and Hollywood Babylon. And then Serial came out. And that was, for me, a game changer for podcasts. You know, truly groundbreaking true crime podcasts have been my thing ever since. You know, if you haven't listened to it, you really need to. Not so much season 2. Season 2 is about Bo Bergdahl, where you know, nowhere near compelling as it was. You knew Bergdahl did it. He admits he did it. The debate was just on how severe his punishment should be. But season 1 centers around the murder of Heyman Lee and the conviction of Adnan Syed for it. And just the reporting, the testing of the facts, the skepticism the creators have about Adnan. Everything about it is just perfect in its reporting, in its presentation, and its listening as a podcast. I mean, they just went through everything really well. The reason why I bring this up is being reported that Maryland's second highest court has been granted a new trial for Adnan. To me, the first time I heard Jay speak on it, it was like, this guy's like lying through his teeth. And, you know, and the investigators are just the type of guys, you know, these type of people that just find one, they find their guy and then they try to make the evidence fit to point at that person. So even if it starts to contradict what they're doing, they kind of make it fit because they think they got their guy. You know, I know what you're thinking, though. Wim, what makes you think you know more than the seasoned detectives? Well, believe it or not, my actual college degree is in criminal justice. So not that that alone makes me more qualified, but all you have to do is listen to that guy talk and a recorded conversation with investigators. And, you know, he's full of it. He did it. And also in the same vein as true crime, Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Bravo is also making an anthology based on the true crime podcast, Dirty John. That will star Connie Britton from Nashville and Friday Night Lights, and Eric Bana, who was in the first Star Trek reboot film, if you've ever seen that. It's a compelling case and an amazing story, and it does not end the way that I anticipated. The story goes in one direction, then at the end it makes a sharp right turn. You know, the ending was not the way I expected it, so keep an eye out for that. On the true crime front also, I watched a couple episodes of Wild Wild Country on Netflix, which is about this cultish type group which buys land in the middle of nowhere in Oregon and starts building a community or a commune. To me, what makes a good documentary is when you're presented with the facts surrounding the subject and you can't make up your mind on the outcome. It makes you really think about both sides of the argument. It's not like a Michael Moore thing where he just only shows you one side of the argument, that the side that he wants you to agree with, and you know, he wants to change your mind or you know, validate his points. But you know, the other ones are to me a great documentary is one where they don't do that, where they present you with both sides and you're constantly struggling with, you know, what's right and what's wrong, you know, because there's two sides to every story. So, I mean, if you're not telling both sides, you're really doing a disservice of what your documentary is about. But anyways, back on point. I don't know if it's a full-on crazy cult thing with this Wild Wild West, or if they're just like a different form of religion that Christians are just having a hard time accepting. And, you know, the group had lawyers and architects, and they generally got a lot of things done, including, you know, they built an airport on this land that they set up, you know, and the people were free to leave if they wanted to, and they just seemed like really just organized hippies, you know. You know, crazy cults can't really pull off the stuff that as successful as they did. You know, so you're like, are they really crazy cult? But yet they all wore red clothes, you know. So, I mean, you kind of thought, like, they made it hard not to think that they were crazy cults. But, you know, then again, they would get stuff done and people were free to leave and stuff like that. And then you have the locals of the town right outside where they bought all the land. You know, were they generally frightened of this crazy cult, or were they just, you know, douchebags bullying these religious people and moving into a town of 40 people, you know? There was one town person complaining that they were filming everything that they were doing, and it was, you know, and it was creepy, and, you know, then they switched talking to a local who had, like, wearing a necklace made out of bullet casing so he could intimidate people. It's like, why wouldn't they record everybody? Look what you're doing, you know? Thought-provoking documentaries are just my favorite, you know? What about you? Any recommendations for documentaries? You know, let me know. I'll give them a watch. Now I've come to the part of the show with my top five. I didn't forget it again, so that's a good thing. This week, my top five is my top five bad movies by great directors. You know, because everybody's made a stinker. We've all done it. But, you know, these guys are great filmmakers. So, number five for me is a tie of films by this director. But, you know, it's Steven Spielberg. So, you know, he's certainly got the one up. But he did make War of the Worlds and Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. And they're both equally bad. So, that's my number five. Number four is Shutter Island by Martin Scorsese. Number three is Magic Mike by Steven Soderbergh. Now, I had to look that up twice to make sure. Steven Soderbergh really directed that? Magic Mike. I mean, I went on IMDb twice to make sure I had it right. Number two, Planet of the Apes by Tim Burton. What a stinker that was. And my top bad movie by a great director is G.I. Jane by Ridley Scott. What a steaming pile of garbage that movie was, wasn't it? So, I will leave you on that. That's the show for this week. As always, the show is sponsored by Stephanie's Country Candles, hand-poured country candles and more. You can visit us online at stephaniescountrycandles.com. That's STEPHANIES, countrycandles.com. you can email the show at vagueandunconvincing@gmail.com. I'll follow the show on Twitter at UnvaguePod, or my personal Twitter handle, which is kind of the same thing, and we all, it's just me retweeting them. It's the whim. THEWHIM. And also I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/vagueandunconvincing. So I'll try to keep up with the episodes, and I'll do my best to keep a regular schedule. I certainly got a bit of a longer episode this time because I had a lot more to talk about. So we'll hopefully hear you in the future. All right. Thanks for listening. Broke into the old apartment. Broken glass, broken hungry, broken hearts and broken bones. This is where we used to live. Why did you paint the walls? Why did you clean the floor? Why did you plaster over the hole I punched in the door? This is where we used to live. Why did you keep the mousetrap? Why did you keep the dish rack? These things used to be mine. I guess they're still, I want them back. Broke into the old apartment. 42 stairs from the street. Crooked landing, crooked landlord, narrow laneway filled with crooks. This is where we used to live. Why did they pave the lawn? Why did they change the law? Why did I have to break it? I only came here to talk. This is where we used to live. How is the neighbor downstairs? How is her temper this year? I turned up your TV and stomped on the floor just for fun.